Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Time to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say hello to a longtime friend. He's been in Detroit for a long time. Dan Miller, play-by-play voice on radio for the Detroit Lions. You used to listen to him here on Team 980. What's up, Dan? Good morning.
How you guys doing today? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Man.
What an incredible run you guys are in the middle of. And, you know, you know this market. You know Washington. It's been a long time. And finally, we've had a run.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch what's happened back there. Obviously, I still have friends and family back there. They're big fans and enjoying this. And I know that, you know, fans in D.C. went through some gut punches for a long time, dealing with ownership, dealing with, you know, things that happened on the field that weren't going the way that they were hoping for. And it's, you know, there's a lot of what happened here in Detroit, too, where, you know, we finally got things turned around. And I'll say this, and I'm sure it's probably the case there. The best thing for me in seeing what's happened to Detroit is seeing these fans finally get payoff, seeing these fans finally be able to enjoy something and sink their teeth into something they can believe in. And I'm sure it's the same there. It's just wonderful to see the electricity come back. I know what that fan base you guys are dealing with is like, and to see them come back to life, like I've seen the Lions fans come back to life, that's really the best part of it, because at the end of the day, that's what this is for. It's for people to enjoy and get behind and take pride in.
Yeah, Dan, you've been calling the Lions games since 2005, and it hasn't always been a bed of roses. I mean, you've seen a lot of bad football there, including the 2008 season where the Lions went winless. But, I mean, what Dan Campbell has done, is it Brad Holmes, the GM? He's done a remarkable job.
Yep.
Like, what they've done, the ownership, along with the GM and the coaches, kind of like what we're seeing here with a new ownership with Josh Harris coming in, new blood with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. There are definitely some similarities between the two franchises.
No, and I'm glad you mentioned ownership, because that's such a big part of it in what happened here and how this thing has turned around. Because Sheila Hamp, when she took over from her mother and took control of the team, she got rid of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia and sent that regime out and knew they needed to make a change. But before she did any of that, she did a deep dive into the organization to find out what was going on. And she found out that it was not a good place to work, that the organization had become fractured, that a lot of people had been left to feel undervalued, like they were not part of what was going on. That previous regime had said, look, you're either part of football or you're not walking down this hallway, you're not talking to our players, you're not part of what's happening here. It was not a good place to be. So before she even hired anybody, she designed a culture she wanted to have there where it was going to be collaborative and everybody was going to feel valued. And that's when she brought Chris Spielman in, and he was a big part of that. And then anybody that they hired, from Dan Campbell to Brad Holmes, had to believe in that as well. And not just believe in it, they had to live it. So, I mean, guys, you know, we use culture a lot, and a lot of times we probably don't use it right. But I can tell you here, that's been a big part of what's happened, is just getting everybody within the organization back on the same page, willing to work with each other, feeling good about working with each other. And that was long before they, you know, traded Matthew Stafford, drafted a player, did anything to get back to where they are now on the field. It was about changing things in the building. And that was an important step. And I would imagine, being through what you went through in Washington with that previous ownership, that was a big part of your success, too. And it's got to be. If you don't have that, it's going to be tough to sustain anything.
No, I agree with you totally, Dan. And I'm big on culture. I think it's massive. And people do make fun of that word. They mock it. And maybe people overuse it and don't really have it. But you guys clearly have it. And you have the talent. We have probably more culture than we do have talent, because we do have some talent. But I mean, culture is really huge here. My question is, when Dan Campbell was first hired, he was kind of mocked, right? We got a guy here, Cakes, that was laughing at him, and we all were,
I wanted Ben Johnson. I'll be honest. Ben Johnson was my guy, Dan.
No, I'm saying, no, Dan Campbell, when he was hired.
Oh, Dan Campbell, that's
when
true.
When Dan Campbell was hired, everyone was kind of goofing on him with all the weird stuff that was coming out of his mouth or whatever. What was your impression of him, and when did you know, wow, we really got the right guy?
You know, and I'm glad you asked the question that way instead of the way that I've been asked the question. And believe me, I get it. I'm not mad at anybody for it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I've done so many of these since Dan Campbell was introduced in 2021, and they just want to laugh about biting kneecaps. Mm-hmm. And you kind of asked it a different way, which was what was my impression. And, look, I get why people made fun of that because it was
weird.
Almost a 90-minute press conference, and that was about 25 seconds of it.
Right.
But that's the only 25 seconds that anybody outside of Detroit heard.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, this guy's a nut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will tell you unequivocally, when that press conference ended, I was on a text thread with a bunch of writers, and you know, we've been through a lot of press conferences here between the Red Wings, the Pistons, the Tigers, and the Lions. And we've had some tough times here and met a lot of coaches. To a man, most everybody on that thread was like, that's the best press conference we've seen. That dude won the day. Now, look, it's not hard to win the day, but it was just something special that he had where he spoke not only to everybody in that organization, but to fans to say, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. It's not going to be easy. And he just used terms that you could relate to. And he wasn't talking down to anybody. So it was a really powerful moment. Now, what you do after that is what counts, because that quickly it fades. But it was and is disappointing that it has taken so long for people to kind of get past that, because it was such a small part of what he brought to this organization. And he has been the perfect guy for this organization. He was here as a player. He understands the city. He understands his fan base. He understands how long they've suffered and what it was going to take to change that. So, you know, look, this is a highly intelligent guy who has no problem making fun of himself. He's amazingly consistent. There's a terrific amount of charisma to him when you get a chance to talk to him. And he's been, like I said, exactly what we needed here. So I get why there was that perception out there. I mean, look, you can go back to YouTube and find people just making fun of the guy, ripping the guy, calling him an idiot, stupid. How in the world did they make that hire? Well, I think from what we've seen, you know, it's been the right hire. And the one thing I'll say, too, is unlike you guys, we had a ramp up. We had a 3-13-1 and then a 1-6 start to the season after that where there were still some doubts.
Yeah.
But then when they closed out 2022 by winning 8 out of 10, just missed the playoffs in the final week of the regular season, people started to believe and it got turned around. What has happened in Washington, the quick turnaround, that's been just incredible. I mean, it's been fun to watch, but it's really incredible.
Yeah, 4 wins to 13 wins, Dan. I mean, that's it's unheard of.
And look, you got a heck of a quarterback that's right in the middle of that, and that makes a big difference. But your coach also has to do a lot of work in his staff to get that thing done.
So Detroit's the biggest favorite of the divisional round, even bigger than Kansas City, who finished 15-2, but really had one loss because Mahomes sat out. But so they're the biggest favorite at Ford Field. We kind of have been breaking down how we think Washington can stay in this game. And in my opinion, it's a lot like what Washington did against Tampa, holding the ball for 36, 37 minutes. Because if they're going to have the ball 27, 28 minutes, I just don't see it, because Detroit's just going to be...
Or even 30-30 might not work out.
Yeah, too explosive. So how do you see... what would you think the Detroit game plan would be to stop Washington and Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it the other side first. The equalizer for Detroit and really what's kept them moving in the right direction despite massive losses to their defense, which if you had told me at the beginning of the year, there's no way I would have told you that could win 15 games with the guys that they've lost, is that offense. That offense is really tough to stop. And then they get on runs in games where they score on 3 or 4 straight possessions or 4 out of 5. And the other team has 1 or 2 empty possessions, and all of a sudden you're down 2 or 3 scores. That's really been the MO for them. Now, look, defense holding Minnesota without a touchdown in that final regular season game, I don't think anybody really saw that coming. This defense has been challenged. It's been good. But towards the end of the season, they were giving up a lot of points, too. To me, look, they just got to find some way to get him off the field a couple of times in this game. And this feels like the kind of game where two offenses that can score, if you have a couple of empty possessions, that might be a problem. I think turnovers are where Washington could make a move in this game, because where the Lions have struggled is where they've come out, and this is not that different than any team around the league, and made a couple of mistakes, had some empty possessions, given the other team short fields or allowed their defense to score. So that's a huge key in this game. If the Lions don't hurt themselves and have their normal offensive game, I think it becomes a tough contest for Washington. But this is 60 minutes of football. You know, if you come out and turn the ball over a couple times, give him short fields, give him the ability to get them on the scoreboard quickly, I think that's where this becomes a problem for Detroit. Do I think Detroit's a better team? Yeah, but that doesn't always matter in games like this. You have to do what they've done to get to 15 wins. Play clean football, be productive on offense, utilize this team that you've built, which was the highest scoring team in the league. And if they do that, I think that goes towards Detroit's game plan. Where I think this thing gets off the rails a little bit is if they start playing sloppy and Washington comes up with a couple of takeaways and all of a sudden you see some momentum flips.
Dan, I'm curious. Ben Johnson's name is mentioned for every coaching vacancy, it seems. And I think he's scheduled interviews and maybe done some interviews. Do you know how he's balanced his time preparing for the playoff game? Has he had to do a lot of interviews?
Yeah, I mean, he and Aaron Glenn both have had a significant number of interviews in this cycle. And I think it was mainly Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday last week where they had the bye week. They had some downtime after practice on Thursday. And those guys fit all those first-round interviews into that time. So Dan Campbell wanted to let everybody get away basically for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before they came back and hit the ground running. And I think they utilized that time to do their interviews. Where things go from here, I don't know, because they're going to be shut down from doing that for a little bit now, and some of the others are going to get their chances, and how that impacts them in the cycle remains to be seen. McCarthy's out there now. He's being mentioned for the Bears where both these guys interviewed. He's being mentioned for the Saints where Aaron Glenn was thought to be one of the leading candidates. So I don't know how it's going to shake out now, but I think the bye week gave them time to kind of put down what they're doing in Detroit for a minute and concentrate on these opportunities, and I think that's what they did.
Dan, can you give us an idea of, obviously a lot of the talk nationally was the fact that all these guys are on IR on the defensive side, and they also suffered some injuries in that Viking game. I know Terry and Arnold got hurt. Dan Campbell was asked about that. He says he expects a couple of those guys to come back, and then offensively, Gibbs is unbelievable, but it's a good change of pace to have Montgomery in there. Those two combined for, I don't know, 19 rushing touchdowns, something like that. So can you give us an idea of some of these guys coming back and how the bye week helped the injured guys?
Yeah, Montgomery should be good to go, barring anything in practice over the next 2 days that goes wrong. Anything, coaches always want to see a guy go through. They're going to have a walkthrough today. Tomorrow will be a harder practice where there'll be some hitting, and they want to see how he does there. And then how does he feel on Friday coming off of that and Thursday coming off of that with, any action that he gets. But I think the plan right now is that Montgomery's going to play barring a setback. The guys to watch that Campbell said he's not sure of right now. Initially he said for Terrion Arnold and Zeitler that they were – given basically got better news on those injuries coming out of the Minnesota game that they anticipated and they had a chance to play this week. Yesterday, he basically said, look, don't know. Not that he felt bad about it, but again, needed to see how they were going to play in practice. They did get Alex Anzalone back for the Minnesota game. That was huge. They got Khalif Raymond back for that game. That was huge. So I think in terms of guys that may or may be out or getting back, that's about it. Aiden Hutchinson's not coming back anytime soon. Lee McNeil's not coming back anytime soon. Carlton Davis isn't coming back anytime soon. Derek Barnes isn't coming back anytime soon. So, some of the big guns that they've lost, they're not going to be available. I mean, they've said Hutch maybe if he made it to the Super Bowl, but I don't think anybody's holding out real hope for that. So those are really the guys they have a chance to get back in this game. Montgomery would obviously be, you know, a big get for them because, as you said, that they work well together. And then Zeitler's such a big part of that offensive line, which this team is built around. If he's good to go off that hamstring, that would be significant as well.
By the way, I lowballed them. There were 28 combined rushing touchdowns, not 19. I was way off.
You had four in the last game for Gibbs.
I was way off on that number.
All-time team record. So, look, those guys have been terrific together. And that was by design. That's something that this team went into trying to do, being able to run the ball. They put a lot of assets into that offensive line to both run and protect Jared. So they've been thrilled with what these backs have brought, and that's, you know, that's a big part of who they are.
Joined by Dan Miller, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Lions. You touched on Hutch there. He was on his way to a Pro Bowl-type season. He was on track for, like, 20-plus sacks. He had 7.5 through the first five games. He suffered that injury. Are they expecting him to be 100% for training camp next year? How's his recovery going?
Yeah, I think by next year he should be fine. There's been talk of maybe, as I said, if they got to the Super Bowl, he might be able to play. Man, that would seem like a tall order. That was a horrible injury that he suffered. And look, that was, man, what was that, week five, week six, something like that in Dallas. And yep. When that happened, it was like, wow, how are they going to survive this? And then they had so many injuries after that that just kept piling up. But, you know, to your point, he was really headed towards a big season and just a game record that was developing for them. And he's one of those guys that's just relentless, and all he wants to do is get better, and all he wants to do is be the best football player he can be. And that was a tough loss. I mean, that's one of your core guys, game changers, and, you know, all teams are looking for him. You don't find many of them. He was one of them. But at worst case, he will be ready to go next year. I think full go. I think based on what we've been told, he'll be ready to go in the offseason program, which is even better, and give him time to ramp up and be ready to roll once training camp starts.
Dan, have a great call as always, and we'll talk to you again soon. It's good reconnecting, man.
Thanks,
good to hear
Dan.
Your voice.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate it. Glad you guys are enjoying this. It's been fun to watch, and we'll look forward to Saturday night. It's going to be fun. That's what the time of year is all about. So
no doubt.
Appreciate you having me. Good luck, fellas.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man. That's Dan Miller, play-by-play voice on the radio for the Detroit Lions as they are hosting the Commanders this weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs. We'll be right back.